This is the official EFL podcast.
Hello again and welcome to the podcast. Joining me on the show this week are Sky Sports' Don Goodman and EFL on Quest's Michael Brown. Now, with it being the international break next weekend and with it also being the end of the first month of the season, we thought we'd take a look back at the talking points from last weekend. And where else better to start than Elland Road?
As Matt Grimes steps up, it's a decent ball in. Keeper loses it in the sun. Chance to hit it and they all get in each other's way.
Oh,
still the danger not gone. Grimes curls
it
in.
Yes!
Routledge.
Yes!
Yes! In.
Get in there!
Oh!
89 minutes! Fantastic!
What have we just seen, Wyndham?
What a display. What a display.
Wow! We are top of the league.
Top of the league. Magnificent. He sent! Get in there!
Yes, so Wayne Routledge scoring in stoppage time to see Swansea take that 1-1-0 and leapfrog leads to the top of the Sky Bet Championship. Don, first question to you. Well, welcome back, first of all, to the show after a long break. How much of a statement is that result from Steve Cooper's side?
It's quite magnificent. They're not getting carried away. They're just literally taking it a game at a time. And Steve Cooper feels that they can improve. They haven't hit the heights that he feels they're capable of yet. But to go away to Elland Road and come away with 3 points is quite magnificent, really. And Swansea to be massively applauded for the start that they've made under Steve Cooper.
Yeah, Michael, we know that Leeds are creating a lot of chances in front of goal, of course. But in the league, they've not managed to score that much at home yet so far this season. Do they maybe have to mix the formation up a little bit now?
Well, there's a lot mentioned about that. I think, Bamford last year come under a lot of criticism when they had the opportunity to go to the Premier League. They just couldn't get over the line, probably wanted to strengthen in last January's window. They were unable to do that. So, they've started well enough. You'd have expected them to go on and do well in that game. I think firepower at home to Nottingham Forest, they had the chances yet again, but couldn't just quite finish people off. But it's been a solid start. I think they've got to look at the positives and say, they're right at the top of the pile yet again. They're playing very, very well against the Swansea side, who obviously gone top and obviously pipped them for not getting these opportunities. And as you mentioned, squad-wise, what did they do? They've got Harrison, they've got Hernandez, and they've got Nketiah, they've got Costa, and Clark's not even getting in.
Yeah, Donna spoke about this a bit on last week's show, but should Eddie Nketiah and Helder Costa be introduced into this Leeds side now?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, that's a question for Marcelo Bielsa. He sees them every single day in training. He knows how he wants to introduce the likes of Nketiah and Costa into the fray. I don't think Leeds will panic in. I think the worry for Leeds would be if they weren't creating chances. That's when you need to worry, to be quite frank. They've got the best defensive record in the league. You know, they do get goals. They are one of the highest scorers, but that percentage of taking the quality chances that come their way has to increase. That ultimately is what cost them right at the very, very end of last season. First of all, that's why they ended up in the playoffs. And secondly, that was one of the reasons that they didn't progress to the final in the playoffs, that they had chances that they just didn't take. So that is an area that they need to improve, obviously. And going back to your point about Nketiah and Costa, what I've seen of both of them since they've been at Elland Road in terms of, I covered their game against Salford. I know Mickey was there as well. And the pair of them look really, really sharp. So, but most qualified person to know when the time is right to introduce them into the starting 11 in the Championship is undoubtedly Marcelo Bielsa.
Yeah, Michael, going back to Swansea though, does this result now show that they are the real deal, of course? You know, Sheffield United did something very similar to Leeds at Elland Road on their way to promotion last season, of course.
Well, it did. You're always looking and thinking, who are the team? Which team are going to be a surprise in the Championship? And in last season, as you mentioned, Sheffield United went and won at Leeds United when they didn't really play that well first half. Leeds United should have put them to the sword, but they didn't. So is this now the confidence that a team needs? For me now, you're playing for Swansea. You've gone and won at Leeds. It's a great confidence booster. And for the new manager, Steve Cooper, that'll be real credit to them. They've got some players who don't know the league that well. It'll be how they can adjust throughout the season. They're there now on merit, but everybody will be looking for them now. They'll be very much aware, and can they sustain it?
Yeah, Don, should Leeds be panicking now, though, after this result? Or is it just a blip, do you believe?
No, I certainly don't think they should be panicking, you know. Look, like I said, I think the biggest concern of all would be if they weren't creating the chances. The fact is they are creating the chances. It's simply a question of just being a bit more efficient when those chances come their way. I mean, Patrick Bamford, he will get you goals. And Kettier, from what I've seen, will get you goals. Helder Costa, if he's introduced, Jack Clark, they will create opportunities. So, you know, when you're third in the championship after six games, it really isn't a time to panic when you're only literally 3 points at the top. So they've got Barnsley away next. It can be difficult. And then they're at home to Derby and Spygate. So, you know, they've got a couple of upcoming games. Maybe the international break has just come at a reasonably good time for Leeds United, just to regroup and then go again.
Don, do you know when you look at it, and you sort of say, well, you know, should there be panicking now at Leeds United? It's just that they have, as we all know, an incredible support network, and everybody's just desperate for that club with the size of it to get back to the Premier League. It's a great story in the media as soon as they're not doing well. But, you know, if you'd have said to me that they'd have been sat in third on 13 points at this stage of the season, you'd be delighted. And it just got to be cautious because the pressure's just got too hard to handle for some of the players.
I think it's the supporters that feel it the most, isn't it, really? I think within the camp. I think Marcelo Bielsa is one of these modern coaches. I think Pep Guardiola falls into that category. And it's really important, performance levels, because they know that if they produce top-level performances week in, week out, invariably they are going to win more games of football than they lose. Of course, the thing with Leeds is they've been away from the Premier League for such a long time. The fans are so desperate, as is anybody connected with Leeds United. And ultimately, when you get a result like we got last weekend, it will lead to a little bit of panic, you know. But I think probably the calmest person in West Yorkshire will probably be Marcelo Bielsa. Look, if they're still not converting the volume of chances, you know, in 6 or 10 more games, and that results in them sliding down the table, then, of course, the opinion of where they're at right now, it may change, and you could understand a little bit of concern. But at the moment, like you said, Brownie, after 6 games, 3 points off the top of the table, you've just suffered your first defeat of the season. It's a pretty good start for me, and they have the quality. They are the benchmark. Most of the lads would agree. I do believe anybody that finishes above Leeds United will be automatically promoted.
And certainly we shouldn't take much credit away from how obviously Swansea have performed at the start of this season. Steve Cooper, like you say, doing magnificent stuff there. Now let's move on to another match we're going to talk about, Birmingham v Stoke. Another gutting defeat for Nathan Jones' side, this Michael. Do you fear he may not be given that time now to implement what he was brought in to do?
I do. I've talked about this at great length over the last couple of weeks about will you be given the time? I mean, it's very difficult. And a big football club in Stoke City to actually be where they are, you know, the foot of the championship. We've seen quite quickly they weren't happy with how Gary Rowett was performing or how his team were performing. So they made the change. What worries me in that camp is there's a lot of senior players. We've got a young lad who's become captain. Why aren't any of the senior players? He now drops Jack Butland for making those mistakes. And then he plays in the week, then he doesn't. And I'm not sure where it goes. There just seems to be a lot of uncertainty. And they've got some good players there. Let's be honest, squad-wise, what they've got, it shouldn't be anywhere near where they are.
Don, let's focus on more of the positive things from this match, though. Jude Bellingham, of course, 16 years old, making his home league debut and scoring the winner. How excited should we be about him?
Well, what a story that is, isn't it? It's remarkable. I believe he's been there from a very, very young age, stood on the terraces as a fan, supported them. So it literally was a dream come true for him. And, you know, I listened to his interviews after the game at the weekend. And you know what? He sounds like he's got his head screwed on. And I really like that. I also covered Birmingham away at Swansea the week before. And he came on and he made a tackle that just had a little bit of devilment in it. And Brownie and I grew up in an era where that's a good thing, you know. We want to see that from youngsters, because they were hurting. He was hurting about the fact that his side were getting beaten comprehensively by Swansea City. So, you know, I like that about him. There is a lot to like about him. Very early days in his career, bags of potential. It is about just keeping his feet on the ground. It's about him working very hard. I heard him speak about the influence of some of the senior players around him, like your David Davises and your Jukovic's and so on and so forth. So he is listening to these senior players, and he does seem like he's got his head screwed on, and that can only be a real good thing for Birmingham City.
Yeah, Michael, Don's mentioned it there, but how difficult will it be for him to keep his feet on the ground, though, now after such a positive start to his career?
Well, I think he's got to enjoy it. You know, you've seen when he scored the goal, there was a little bit of slice of good fortune when it went in. But the celebrations there, and it's a brilliant story. It's 16 years of age. It's a dream come true, what he says. And it is, you know, you all remember, as Donald say, when you set off and you start playing your first games, and especially being so young. But he's got to just go and enjoy it. And I fear that, you know, some young up-and-coming footballers are not doing it for the enjoyment of the game. They're doing it for the stature. And hopefully now, as you mentioned there, with that little bit of desires, got a bit of punch about him, and hopefully that will set him off. So it's a confidence thing to go and do that so early. I'm sure he'll go on now, and it's just a brilliant story. Keep working hard, and it's the old cliche, doing the right things and wait for those chances to come.
Yeah, Don, you've said about the senior players obviously speaking to him, but is it part of Pep Clotet's job now as well to keep his feet on the ground as well?
Yeah, I know that Craig Gardner as well is now on the coaching staff at Birmingham. Again, I had a good chat with him down at Swansea, and he was telling me how he'd worked very, very hard with some of the younger players, takes them for 1v1 sessions, etc., etc. So it's not just about Pep Clotet. Pep Clotet will ultimately be responsible for putting him in the team at the appropriate moments and putting him on the pitch at the appropriate moments, but ultimately, you know, in protecting him, you know, because when you are 16, I remember making my debut at 17 and then becoming a regular in the Bradford City team at 18. And Trevor Cherry, the manager, he would never, ever play me more than six games on the spin. Regardless of how well I was doing, regardless of how many goals I was scoring, he would always pull me out. And he was doing that for my own benefit. And so it is about how you manage these young players. And I'm sure between them, Pep Clotet and the coaching staff and the senior players at Birmingham City will really, really look after this young man and nurture him and help him along his way.
Yeah, certainly an exciting talent. And yeah, another area, of course, this week where a lot of young players will be given their chance to play first team men's football will be in the leasing.com trophy. More than 20 fixtures this week. There'll be a lot of young players on show. How important, Michael, is it in general that young players get their chance playing against men?
Well, there's a lot being said about this trophy, hasn't there? Now, obviously, the new name, leasing.com. Will it change? Will it get more attendances? But whoever was at the final will tell you what an atmosphere, a special day out for all those supporters. And I was there, covered the game. And that just shows you, if you're early on, if you can get to this final, it's a brilliant competition. But regards to the young players, I've had these conversations, just looking at the fixtures now, the under 21 players from Tottenham go to Ipswich, Aston Villa go to Salford City. So it's just great games. And again, like you say, playing against senior players in a competitive game, the academy is okay. You're playing that and you're getting your style, you're getting your touch, you're learning how to rotate, when to pass, when to overlap. But once you go into these games, you realise all the tricks of the trade and you'll only learn by playing against the senior players who will take advantage of you. And at that point, Don will tell you, you know, you'll learn quite quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember going to Anfield in the old Central League and 16-year-old boy being marked by Gary Gillespie and Steve Nicol. So that's how you learn, to be fair. You learn an awful lot when you play against senior professionals. So you look, I mean, the trophy itself, the format, it hasn't been adopted and embraced as well as maybe the EFL would have wanted. I know for a fact the EFL are constantly looking at it, monitoring it, seeing how they can make it better and more attractive to supporters. But as Brownie said there, like, you know, when you see what it means to those clubs when they get into the latter stages and then you go to Wembley and you see Coventry City take 50,000 the year before last, and obviously then we had Sunderland and Portsmouth. So these games are, you know, when you get to the latter stages, they do mean a remarkable amount to these players, both senior and younger players as well. So, you know, I do think that the EFL, they're constantly trying to improve it, make it a better format, make it more exciting for the fans. But ultimately, the end product, when you go to Wembley and when you watch and you see your team there, unbelievably fantastic experience that you'll never, ever forget for the rest of your life.
And Don, before we move on from the Championship, I just want to give a quick mention to Charlton, up to second now after their 2-0 win at Reading, unbeaten. How incredible is the job that Lee Boy is doing at the minute?
Well, number one, the job that he did last season and the season before was remarkable, but this is taking it to another level because Lee actually lost three or four of his top players, you know, the boy that went to Rangers, Aribo, he lost Bauer, the centre-half, Bielik went back and then ended up going to Derby. So these are three crucial. Dyke Steele went to Middlesbrough. So to see him scrimp and scrape, nick a bargain here and a loan signing there and put it together and get it to gel so instantly. I was shocked, actually, that he remained at Charlton. I say that with the greatest of respect. With everything that's going on at Charlton, there were plenty of really interesting jobs in the Championship throughout the summer. And I was surprised that he wasn't linked with two or three of the real big ones, you know, because I saw the quality of his work last season. I saw how adaptable he is, both from a game-to-game basis and actually even in-game, changing systems to get the right victory out of his and performance out of his play. So I've been nothing but really, really impressed with Lee Bowyer. I did their 1-1 draw against Nottingham Forest a couple of weeks ago. And I have to say, for the first half, it was as good a Championship performance as I've seen for a very long time. They were outstanding. Unfortunately for them, Forest just hung in, dug their heels in, used all their experience and came back a little bit in the second half. So, you know, for them to win 4 and draw 2 of the first 6 at this higher level, I think it is a magnificent effort. And you know what? There is going to be some surprises. We've already alluded to that in the Championship. I don't think it's as sort of predictable. After maybe, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 games, I think we could predict that Leeds United were going to be up there. Norwich started a role. Sheffield United had started doing well. So we could almost foresee the end of that. But if you ask me now who's going to be up there at the end, I'd probably say I fancy Leeds to push on. But I think there is room for two or three surprises in the top 6. I honestly, genuinely do. And with the way Charlton have started, why can't they be one of them?
They've done brilliant, haven't they, Charlton, with all of the problems that they had and his signers, you said, who he've lost. But it's a style of play that Lee Boyer wants to play, the diamond. He wants to try and play football where he can. He's getting the best out of Johnny Williams, although in League One, he didn't look that good. And he's got a bit of experience in Prattley, Jason Pearce, and I say Lyle Taylor and Lecco at the top of the pitch. I mean, it surprised me how well he's done. And can he keep doing that throughout the season with that Charlton team? Or as you've said, will somebody else come and take him?
Yeah, that's not for us to speculate. Otherwise, we'll never be allowed back into Charlton again. So, no, I mean, look, I if I were a club operating on a higher level with a bigger budget, he is one of the up and coming managers, coaches that I would definitely have an eye on. There's no question about that. This isn't just about this season now, Brownie, is it? All of last season and the season before, when there was all those protests and off field turmoil. This was a football club that was in turmoil, the hatred between the fans or from the fans towards the owner. It very, very difficult circumstances in which to operate. And yet through all of that, you know, he kept himself to himself, Lee. He was politically correct. He just made it his personal mission to bring the fans, smiles back on the fans' faces. And my word, he's doing that. And he's doing that by playing really good football and being a hard outfit to beat. You know, they've scored in every single game. They've had a couple of clean sheets. They've got one of the best defensive records. And they've got that feel-good factor that promotion often brings, and we've seen it before, it can sometimes...
And it keeps rolling on, doesn't it?
Yeah, and they've kept that going. Some clubs don't do that, you know. I mean, obviously, Luton, surprisingly, found it harder than I thought they might, although they've just managed to get a couple of back-to-back wins on the board, which will allow them to settle down. But Charlton and Lee Bowyer, absolutely fantastic in the first half dozen games of the season.
A quick mention to Johnny Jackson, who assists him. I think he does very well for him. So, yeah, good pair.
Absolutely.
Yeah, certainly things on the pitch are looking good at the Valley. Now moving on to League One and starting with Ipswich Town, another team who carried on their unbeaten start to the season this weekend, this time beating Shrewsbury. How impressed have you been with them considering that horrendous campaign they had last year, Michael?
Well, it is impressed. They obviously had to strengthen. And, you know, the first game of the season, actually, listening to somebody who was on a phone in and they actually said, this is one of the greatest moments has been for an Ipswich fan for such a long time. And I was like, I was amazed by what they've gone through. And the point was, they've been starved even winning games for so long. That's the difficult. We all know reasons why. Mick McCarthy, it didn't work out. Everything got changed. And they found themselves in a difficult situation. But now they've gone well. I would expect with that squad, they started building last year, you know, with Paul Lambert, experienced manager, the likes of Norwood, who will be a goal scorer. And I think now with the confidence and with that backing, I'm sure they'll go on, just like Leeds United in the league that they're in. I think they'll be one to watch for sure.
Yeah, I think I heard the same phone, and you heard Don. Obviously, they stuck with Paul Lambert over the summer. Brave decision in modern football, really, isn't it, to stick with your manager after relegation?
Yeah, I mean, he came in and he had plenty of games last season in the Championship, but he couldn't change that losing culture that they'd found themselves ensconced in, really. He found it very, very difficult. And the cold, hard facts are Ipswich Town last season simply weren't good enough to avoid relegation. And I don't think many of the fans were blaming Paul Lambert. And that's the reason that they were the owners and the high powers were able to leave Paul in charge for this season. If you look at Paul's track record, actually he knows this league from when he first started, did really, really well with Colchester, romped through the league with Norwich City. So he has got experience, you know, and I think that, you know, it would have been silly, as far as I'm concerned, to get rid of Paul Lambert after last season. You certainly had to see how they started this season and back him and back him to do the job, which of course is to get Ipswich Town back into the Championship instantly. I don't think anything else will do for those Ipswich Town fans. And like you said, Brownie, you know, the feel-good factor is back at Portman Road.
And Michael, of course, we're only six games in, but Caden Jackson has already matched his goal tally from last season, scoring his fourth goal on Saturday. How much confidence will that give him as well?
Well, give him huge confidence. And you know, you look at Caden Jackson, 4-7, and a type of player who's been down the lower ends, lower leagues, obviously got his move to Barnsley, then ended up at Accrington, where he got 16 goals, and then a £1 million move. So it's a lot of money for Ipswich to go and spend on a player when you've had adversity, not doing well. So he's been key for them to start this season with winning games and him scoring. That'll have obviously really been pleasing for the manager. So yeah, with somebody with his hunger, the squad behind him, in that manager and the start he's had, and yeah, I think he's going to be certainly a one to watch this season.
Yeah, and Don, one player who we've talked about a lot on this podcast, even Michael Brown just mentioned it there, but James Norwood, of course, he's top scorer in League One already with 5 in his last 4 matches. How astute a signing was that from the club over the summer? And could he have, you know, gone even higher? Could he have gone to the Championship maybe?
Oh, 100%, 100%. If any Championship club had asked me, come to me and said, what do you think? Can he operate at that level? I would have unequivocally said, absolutely, you know. When I saw Tranmere Rovers last season, yes, he scored a remarkable amount of goals, but it was the other stuff as well that he brings to the party. It's that work ethic. He's almost sort of Jamie Vardy-like, isn't he, in his attitude to chasing lost causes and making it very, very difficult for defenders. So I had absolutely no doubt that Ipswich Town had got a bit of a steal, really, because I think his contract was up, so I don't think they had to pay a fee for him. So, I mean, what a signing he has been. Obviously, Paul Lambert was able to convince him of the project in hand, and it's been a dream start for him. I have no doubt that he will be in the top goal scorers charts come the end of the season.
Yeah, free transfer as well, like you said, great bit of business. How important, though, Michael, was it that they brought people into the club like, you know, Norwood after relegation, someone who's obviously full of confidence himself after back-to-back promotions?
Well, as you just mentioned, it's a player's persona, somebody coming in with confidence, where the whole football club had obviously had such a negative feel for someone coming in who's had a fantastic couple of seasons. His goal record's got much better from going from Forest Green, 48 goals and 165 games, I think, and then doubles it to, you know, he doubles his goal record into so 82 goals with Tranmere. So he's a player who started to score goals, got better and better. So yeah, again, a fabulous sign and good recruitment on a free transfer. They've given him a 3-year deal. And as Dom said, I thought there would have been, no disrespect to Ipswich, a few takers a little bit higher up in the leagues.
And the thing about Norwood as well is his age now, isn't he? He's got all that experience under the belt, and he is in his physically, you're in your prime, aren't you? Probably you know, 27, 28 and through into sort of 30 in your early 30s. And then,
yeah, I agree.
You know, I just think you're at the peak of your powers. And so everything was right for Ipswich, the timing and to get that player free of, you know, on a free transfer. Fantastic business.
Yeah, great bit of business, like you say. Now, Don, a word on Bolton, who've just appointed Keith Hill as manager after the takeover last week. Yeah. A lot of negativity over the summer, of course, but how astute an appointment could that be, considering his experience?
I think it's a masterstroke, to be honest with you. I think Keith Hill, he's had a fantastic career down at not just League Two, but at League One as well. He managed to get Rochdale promoted a couple of times. And, you know, I thought Barnsley were really daft when they let him go. I don't really know what they were expecting from you know, Keith Hill, other than a relegation struggle, given the resources that they gave him to utilise in the Championship. So, you know, I think he's a real solid, solid appointment with good connections, knows what it takes at that level. Obviously, look, Bolton starting, well, they're on currently on minus 11 points. I mean, good, you know, we talk about the Leicester story, don't we? About Leicester women winning the Premier League and being the greatest achievement in football. I'll tell you what, if he can keep them up and it's a tall order, that I think that would trump it, to be honest with you. But they've made a start. I've seen today that they've signed Will Buckley, Liam Bridcut. I know they're linked with sort of Jake Wright of Sheffield United and even linked with Daryl Murphy. So I think they're looking for the right kind of player to help the cause, whether it be a short-term fix. But certainly, I think those young players and that young squad, we've seen, haven't we, the difficulty that a group of youngsters can have when they're playing week in, week out against senior players. So imperative that Bolton made an appointment like Keith Hill, and imperative that they're backing him to get the right calibre of players in.
Michael, they're also backing him with David Flitcroft alongside him as his assistant as well. Two people who you think, you know, will be well equipped to deal with the situation that they find themselves in, if you can equip yourself for a situation that they find themselves in.
Well, you know, there's two guys I know quite well, in Keith Hill and David Flitcroft. As we know, they started off the journey together. David being the assistant, went off to Barnsley. David went off and done his own managerial roles, notably just at Mansfield. He had a good, successful team. He just didn't get there with them. So it'll be strange for him to go back from where he started. But luckily, they've always been very, very good friends. They get on very, very well. And I think they'll be good to bounce off each other now, and even more experience. And I think they're going to need all of those contacts, the wealth of experience that they've got at that level. You've just seen how long Keith Hill was at Rochdale. What a brilliant job. He always felt like he would have been there for such a long time. His recruitment was always good. I think you look at how many players they've gone on and sold at Rochdale over the years. So it tells you he has a great eye for talent. And that's what he's going to need very, very quickly at this Bolton side. Both living in the Bolton area. It's their football club. And I'm sure that they'll be so excited to get their teeth into this job. It's going to be difficult, as Don just mentioned, but what a great story. And if they can get anywhere near it, then I'm sure, you know, it'll be a fantastic story for a club who deserve more than what they've had at the moment.
Well, and the good news for Bolton fans is that they're alive, you know, and it looked for long spells that they might not be. So, you know, really, if they do end up in League Two, it's not a disaster, particularly with that managerial team. And B, there's 41 games to go. That's a lot of points and a lot of games. And OK, it's a real, real tall order, but they will bring such positivity to that football club that I wouldn't put it beyond them. I really wouldn't.
And like you say, a couple of good additions today as well. We certainly wish them well throughout the season. Now, moving on to League Two, and Don, you know, another win for Exeter, top of the table. How they, you know, they obviously missed out on the playoffs last year very late on. What does it say about the character of Matt Taylor's team, though, that they've bounced back like this at the start of the season?
It says an awful lot. It really does, because character in football is an enormous, enormous part, enormous ingredient in the recipe for success. And clearly, it's so devastating. I've lost a couple of playoffs in my time, and it's devastating. It really is. The summer can be a miserable time, and you know, then you've got to go back and get over it. And you really have to get over it quickly, because before you know it, you can be 10 games in and still not feeling positive and you can't win a promotion in the first 10 games, but you can certainly lose it or the opportunity to gain it. So, you know, I just think Matt Taylor, he's done a brilliant job in picking them up. And it's really, really no surprise to me that Exeter City are up towards the top end of League Two.
And Michael, massive relief for Stevenage this weekend as well, scoring the first goals of the season in almost 9 hours of football. How much of a relief will that be for them, despite eventually being pegged back to a 2-2 draw against Macclesfield?
Well, I think when Curtis Guthrie scored the goal, I think they'd actually be all doing cartwheels. I mean, to not score for so long, it's just, that is difficult to take. And it's the pressure now that everybody puts on you. You're towards the bottom of the league. You can see that sort of the draining in people, because you know, obviously, the manager's then under pressure, the players are under pressure, and it just builds, and it's just be a relief. So can that give them the confidence now? Yes, they didn't go on to beat Macclesfield, but it's always a difficult. I've been in team, never probably that long, but it's just the pressure. It's like a cork going off. There's that release, and now I think that'll give them a little bit more confidence.
And Don, finally, it's been an even worse start, though, for Scunthorpe, bottom of the EFL after six games without a win. You really feel for Paul Hurst in this situation, don't you?
Well, you really feel for Paul, because he is one of the nicest men in football, first and foremost. Look, he had a very, very difficult time at Ipswich Town. It was a job that he felt he couldn't turn down, and a real opportunity at a big club. And he's come to Scunthorpe to try and rebuild his reputation, because I'm sure he's ambitious to get back up to the higher levels in terms of coaching and managing in the Football League. So it has been a very, very difficult start. I mean, they can't stop conceding goals. It really, really is a worry for them. But as I said, it's one of those. I guess it's a little bit like Nathan Jones at Stoke City in the Championship. Is every passing game that you fail to win, that little bit more pressure is brought to bear. And so I do hope, and they haven't got a reputation for this, that the Scunthorpe hierarchy can just be a little bit patient and give him a little bit of time. It would be all too easy just to get rid of him. But I think often patience is the order of the day. But we are living in 2019, and that's a commodity that not many coaches and managers get. But so, yeah, in answer to your question, I really do feel for
Don, patience is difficult, isn't it? When you're bottom of the league at Scunthorpe, you were doing well in the league above. And we've looked at it, and you mentioned Stoke City and other clubs, and it will be tough, but this is a real test for him now, isn't it? He'd done an unbelievable job at Shrewsbury, like you've never seen. And then to go on, he had to take that Ipswich job. He had to go and have a go, see if he could turn it. He's found himself in adversity. So it'll be a big test for him. But as you mentioned, he's a great, great guy, great character, you know, football through and through. And hopefully he can come out the other side of it and get some results shortly.
Yeah, we all hope so. I mean, you've got to remember, again, you talk about cultures, Brownie. And it is. We've spoken about the losing culture at Ipswich last season. Well, Scunthorpe were the same. You know, I'm not being funny. They ended the season in awful, awful form and ended up going down. So it was a difficult job in the first place to try and pick them up. You look at the team, some big clubs now down there, Bradford City now down there, Plymouth, Walsall, all relegated along with Scunthorpe. It's not easy to turn that losing culture around. And, you know, like I said, I just hope that the hierarchy, who over the last few seasons
They've had some managers as well.
Bad decisions. They've made bad decisions, you know, because they've wanted instant success. You know, I mean, I think they sacked Graham Alexander when they were fifth or something like that, didn't they, in League One? You know, and you look back, I mean, Bradford did the same with Stuart McCall when they were about fifth in League One as well. And these are decisions that ultimately you can reflect on, and maybe they are turning points in sort of recent history of clubs like that you really are ambitious to get higher than League One. And ultimately, both of those clubs that we've just mentioned have now found themselves in League Two. And that is really not the place that any of the fans and the players and certainly the hierarchy of those clubs imagine or want them to be.
Yeah, certainly fingers crossed things get better for Paul Hurst and Scuddy, of course, one of football's nice guys. Guys, thank you very much for your time this week, and enjoy the rest of your week. And yeah, great to have you on the podcast.
Cheers, guys.
The official EFL podcast. The best reaction to all the match action, available every week.